Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep?
Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Black Sheep Believers podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jess. I have a delightful co-host, one of my sisters. Her name is Alicia. We're sisters from another mister, by the way, but Alicia is not joining me today. There are going to be times where she's going to have something that she wants to talk directly to you about. Today, we decided that it was just going to be me, that I was going to come on and talk specifically about Holy Week. This is the week that we're releasing the episode, and it's a very, very powerful week, and being the Bible nerd that I am, I just thought it'd be cool for us to take some time and contemplate the power of this week. And I want to just explain a little backstory for those of you that are brand new to this whole Jesus thing and explain why this week is so important. And then I'm going to read a little bit of scripture and I'm going to pray over you. Hopefully that will minister to you as you contemplate and reflect upon this most important event in my opinion, in all of history, but certainly the catalyst for which we choose Jesus. and it's what we celebrate on Easter. Okay, so before we get to Easter Sunday, let me give you some backstory. So we welcome people of all spiritual steps in this whole, you know, this whole thing. What words am I trying to think, friends? I recognize that there are people that are possibly listening to this podcast that are brand new to Jesus, and all you know is that he forgave you and he loves you. That might be all you know, and you're just Jesus curious, but you're like really radically, you're choosing Jesus, but there's a lot of Bible you don't know, there's a lot of backstory to Jesus that you don't understand, and so I'm just going to do as quickly as I can, just like a quick summary of everything that happened that makes this week, this Holy Week, really, really special. And I'm going to read a little bit out of the Old Testament, something that was predicted that would happen to the Messiah. And that's going to be what we contemplate today. Contemplate meaning thinking about, reflecting upon. That's what we're going to do. Okay, so let me give you just a quick backstory. Holy Week, really critical week. In fact, honestly, what matters about Jesus if this week doesn't happen? So Jesus is a rabbi, right? When he was living on earth, he grew up through Jewish custom. You know, they explain when he's 12 years old, he spends days apart from his parents and sitting under rabbis in the temple, and that's where they find him. And they were like, "Where have you been?" And he was like, "Why wouldn't you know I was at my father's house?" Anyway, so Jesus is a rabbi. He goes around and he teaches people about the Hebrew Bible, which we know today is the Old Testament. But he also does things like open it up, read out a part of it, and be like, "I fulfill that," you know, mic drop. And then people are really mad at him. And some people are like, "Oh my gosh, he's the guy." He goes around with this group of guys he calls disciples and heals and teaches and serves and loves and enjoys sinners. And then he comes back to where the Jewish temple resides, which is in Jerusalem. And he's coming back the week leading up to Passover. Passover is still a Jewish custom that's celebrated annually. And he's coming back to Jerusalem to celebrate and observe Passover. That is the whole point. So he comes back. We call that day, the day that Jesus came back from wherever he was to Jerusalem. I'm sure that there's like a real place. I'm so sorry that I don't have that information in front of me. But he comes back to Jerusalem, and on that day, we refer to it as Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is usually because people were taking branches and they were putting it on the dirt, on the ground, so that his donkey would not have to get dirty. They were honoring him by putting things on the ground, and they were saying things like, "Hosanna. He who's come in the name of the Lord. This blessed is this guy. This guy's our king." And it was radical for anybody to be celebrated the way that Jesus was. In fact, it made the religious leaders furious that anyone would get that kind of praise and worship. That was really what people were doing. They were worshiping him. They were celebrating him. In addition to the Jewish leaders, the Romans were like coming around knowing that all these Jews were coming to Jerusalem for, you know, their holiday, and they were oppressing people on other sides of the city. I mean, like, it was like real mayhem that these people were celebrating Jesus. Okay? That is Palm Sunday. And the week between Palm Sunday and what would be considered Easter Sunday, if you attend a church, they might call it Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection being that Jesus was not in the tomb Sunday morning when a couple women who were coming to take care of his body, a tomb was rolled away, and they said, "He's not here. He is risen." Resurrection. Okay. And so that's what this book ends. It starts with Palm Sunday, and it ends with the day that we celebrate that Jesus no longer occupies a grave. It's very rad. And I'll give you just a really quick summary. The reason why he was coming back to Jerusalem, he knew who he was going to die. He was coming back to recognize Passover. What is Passover? Really quickly, if you go way to the front half of the Bible, okay, that Old Testament there, I really recommend reading Genesis before getting to Exodus, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get to Exodus real fast. This is when Israel had migrated from where they were living a long time ago to Egypt. There's a very cool story that happens at the end of Genesis. And they were showing their trust in the Lord and doing what he asked them to do, which was to sacrifice a pure animal and then put blood on their doorposts. And if they did, he would pass over their home and protect them from some really terrible stuff. You can learn more about that in Exodus, the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Bible. And a bunch of stuff happened to the Egyptians. Bunch of stuff. But once Passover happened, Pharaoh released Israel from being slaves, and this guy named Moses and his brother Aaron were able to rescue them out of Egypt. It was really rad. And then from then on out, they observed Passover, where they recognized Jesus, or God specifically, God's provision over them, his protection over them, his ability to take care of all of their needs and advocate for them. It's very, very cool. And Jesus, as a rabbi, would have observed Passover with his crew. And so the story then begins. And so he comes back to Jerusalem. He starts to prepare his disciples, the people that were following him, that had, you know, helped him in his ministry on earth. And he started telling them, "My time's coming. I'm about to die, guys. I'm about to die. But I'm going to come back." And they were like, "What does that even mean?" They were so confused, y'all. And how can they not be? Like, that is crazy. No one had ever previously or since been like, "By the way, I'm going to die, but I'm also going to not be dead." Like, that's wild. So the disciples would have been people that had memorized the Old Testament. The Jewish people at the time had the entire book memorized, y'all. And so he was saying, you see all those things, they're waiting for a Messiah. The entire people of Israel, Jews, were waiting for a Messiah. And he was saying, "I'm him. I'm the fulfillment of everything that happened. But I have to die because I have to conquer sin. But I'll come back. You just wait. I'll come back." And in that time, a few really crazy things happen. I'm going to tell you these crazy things, and then we're going to read out of one of the prophecies of what Jesus did. The first thing is that he will say this thing on the cross. The moment that all the weight of sin is on him, he's been, you know, beaten brutally, and he says this thing when he feels like God has separated himself from Jesus. And Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" While he's on the cross, people are going to tease him and say, "If you believe in God and that you're the Son of God, why don't you ask God to rescue you and deliver you?" And he also, some water comes out of his side. And I'm just like rattling off some stuff because I'm about to explain why. And then at one point he gets really parched and he says, I thirst. And somebody takes like sour wine and they stick it up at his lips and he drinks. And the reason why I share some of these things, there's a bunch of stuff that happens. I highly recommend. The account of Jesus's resurrection is in all four Gospels. So I do recommend looking at them. My church is going through the book of Mark. So you can go to Matthew, the end of Matthew, the end of Mark, Luke or John. Go to any of them. Just pick which flavor you want because they're all just different accounts of some really, really great stories. My church is going through the book of Mark. So that's the preference of mine. I do recommend between now and Easter Sunday that you really consider reading the entire, that whole thing. The Last Supper is an event that takes place during Holy Week. It's the last time that Jesus eats with his disciples, his dudes. It's right before Judas betrays him and he turns him over to Roman soldiers. And, that whole story, Holy Week, the day, Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus comes back to Jerusalem, to the end of every gospel. Just read it to the end. And it will be so powerful to you. I really believe that it will just remind you of the power that of what Jesus did and what he did specifically for you. But there was a reason why I brought up a few details, and it's because it is prophesied in the book of Psalms, and it is so cool. So hundreds of years before Jesus came, there were a bunch of prophecies about the Messiah that was going to come and rescue God's people. And in Psalm 22, the psalmist explains some very specific things about the Messiah. And he does it so poetically. So I'm just going to read some of Psalm 22. I recommend just adding this to the list of things that you read this week. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you are fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you I was cast from my birth, and from you, my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a postured, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to all my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel. That word of the Lord came hundreds of years before a bunch of people who denied Jesus, divided his clothes, beat him almost to a point where all of his bones were exposed. All of his bones were exposed. Like I said, he was parched and they gave him sour wine. Water came out of his side. And all of that, along with so many other things, were predicted before Jesus came. So, this week, we reflect on the fact that Jesus had to be mutilated for the sin of the world, for every single mistake that you and I make. And he did it. And then he woke back up. And 500 people were able to eyewitness him after his death and testify that he was alive. And now we have access to the God of creation. And we can talk to him whenever we want. And we have a Jesus-like spirit inside of us called the Holy Spirit that can talk to us, minister to us, encourage us, challenge us, transform us. And it's because of this Jesus guy who interceded on our behalf, who came between us and God and paid the price for our sin so that we can have access to the God of the universe. I hope that you spend more time this week reflecting on that. Some would choose to fast. That's just withholding something that you want for a period of time in exchange of reflecting upon something that is greater. And so some people choose to fast from certain things like food or social media or, rewards. Some would spend more time praying and talking to God about it. And some then throw a big old party on Sunday, Easter Sunday, and remember that Jesus is no longer on this earth, but he's risen. We have access to the living God because of what Jesus did for us, and we celebrate. But before we celebrate, I want for us to take some time and just ask God to minister to us and help us to remember what he's done for us. So would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Welcome you into this time of us just pausing our day, pausing this moment, and reflecting upon what you've done for us, Jesus. You took every one of our sins. You physically endured them on your body, on the cross. Because you love us. Even in our sin, even in our deepest, ugliest, most abhorrent choice, God, you poured yourself out for us. I pray for my friends who are listening right now, to our community, Lord. I pray for those that are brand new to accepting you as Lord of their life. This might be their first time ever celebrating the resurrection of your Son, God, and I just pray that you allow for them to feel the weight of your sacrifice and then celebrate the victory that you offer us. For my friends who have been
following you for a long time. I pray that you help them to practice a deeper time of meditative prayer and contemplation this week. Help us not gloss over the thing that we've celebrated for many years. Help it feel just as potent, just as real, just as important to us today as the day that we said yes to you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for all the people that we love in our community that don't get to celebrate your forgiveness. Either because they've never heard of your name before or because they've chosen not to. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that this is the last Easter Sunday they go without celebrating you, Lord. I pray that you help us to live every single day with the kind of sacrificial love that you've given us, that it becomes a pleasing fragrance to the people in our life that don't know you, Lord. I pray you soften their heart. You draw them into yourself. And that they too can kneel and bow on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity, and declare you as Lord of their life. And I pray for those who choose Jesus this weekend, this upcoming weekend, this week of Holy Week, this Resurrection Sunday. I just celebrate with the angels, all those who say yes to you and declare you. God, help us to be aware of our brokenness. Help us receive your love fully and transform us to be like you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. That's it today, guys. It's a shorter episode, but hopefully you can take up the time that you would listen to us to get with God on your own and enjoy maybe listening to the Bible, maybe finding some prayers on Holy Week. There are so many resources out there that you can use. And go celebrate. He's not in that cave, y'all. He is not in that grave. That's good news. Have a great week and join us next time for another episode of the Black Sheep Believers Podcast. Bye.